Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, September 21st. Today happens to be the birthday of Brother Philip Bale. Appreciate Brother Philip. He's a young man here in the church at Island Ford, and we're grateful for him. Hope he has a great birthday today and is blessed of the Lord. Amen. We're going to be remembering him especially in prayer today as well on this his special day. And I hope you're having a good day. I want to remind you that we do have these broadcasts in what's called podcast form, in which you can download them at your convenience at our website at wsof.org. And you can listen to them then at your convenience and best opportunity. So hope that will be something to be a blessing to you as we make that available. We do appreciate those of you that listen in weekly and daily, and those of you that let us know that you're hearing and that perhaps you're blessed and helped by the messages and the broadcast. We're grateful unto the Lord for this privilege. Also like to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us on this Lord's Day coming up. Our regular Sunday morning and Sunday night service, we're looking forward to it, Lord willing. Everything will be normal. I'll be back, and things will be going hopefully well. And so we're looking forward to that as this coming Lord's Day comes up. I do appreciate Brother Bale filling in and preaching for us last night, and I appreciate you praying for that. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless and help the broadcast today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in the family of God. Give me this opportunity to serve you. Father, I pray that you would help now in this time. Father, that we'd accomplish your will and work. Lord, I pray that you would anoint it. Lord, that you would bless our podcasts that are going out across the world. Lord, you'd bless the broadcast as it goes out over WSOF and WAJJ radio, as well as over the World Wide Web in the Internet. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would bless the church here at the Island Ford Baptist Church and use us, dear God, for your glory. Help us in our upcoming Lord's Day services. Give my wife and I safety, Lord, I pray, as we travel back from North Carolina. And Lord, help us that we might have a good time in visiting and a safe trip back and take care of those needs as well. I do pray that you'd bless the broadcast today. Father, help us as we try to preach the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. Lord, I pray give liberty, unction, and power. Father, I pray that you'd help that the sinner might come under old-time conviction, that they might repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, I pray that you'd help that the saint would be strengthened and encouraged and emboldened to stand for thee. Father, I pray that you'd help us that our faith might grow and that we might be the Christian that we'll wish we were when we stand at the judgment seat. Father, help us that we'll not be ashamed before you at your coming, but that we might be ready to meet you when you call. Father, I pray then that you would bless that the program might be used to revive the saints and strengthen the work of God. And Lord, that the good seed fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have your way now, Lord, I pray. Touch Brother and Sister Hall, strengthen them. Lord, I pray help Brother Philip have a special day today, meet his needs as well. Others that we're praying for, Lord, I pray you work on them and help them to serve you and to please you. And Lord, you just have your way. We pray in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. And amen. I certainly do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to move along in the program today as we get ready for our songs. Our first song today is by the Shepherd Family, their newer CD, All the Children Singing Together, No One Else Could Do What He's Done For Me. Hope this is a blessing, and I'm glad to know and report to you that Jesus can do what nobody else can do.
John chapter 5, verse 39, the Bible reads this way, the words of our Lord, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I want to try to preach on this topical thought on the attitude of Christ toward the Scriptures. We're not told a lot about the early life of our Lord, but there's only one little glimpse, and that one little glimpse of our Lord tells us something about what the Scriptures meant to him, even as a young man, 12 years old. "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Jesus had an adoration and admiration of those scriptures. Our Lord, He had a great understanding of those scriptures. This little boy knew the scriptures. He knew them well. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. 30 years have passed. He's a young man now. He had spent his early life reading in private. So now he's ready to read in public. I have reason to believe that our Lord's attitude during that first great preparatory season and period of his life was one of being a delightful and reverent student of the Word of God. Now, the second period of his life there in the temptation, again, is found in Luke chapter 4. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about it, but it does say that our Lord came forth triumphant. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us very plainly that obviously our Lord was one that knew very well how to handle the sword of the Spirit and do battle with the devil. He learned that having a daily portion of the Scripture, a delight in the Scripture, a devouring of the Scripture. Amen. But here's something that I read. I had seen it when I was studying and preached on the radio through the temptation of Christ. That all the answers our Lord gave the devil, there's three scriptures that He used. You know they all came from the book of Deuteronomy. Three scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy, but here's the part that I didn't see. They all come from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, or 8 in that little frame. In other words, all the answers can probably be found on one page of your King James Bible. Everything the devil had about the Lord said, look here, devil. Look here, devil. Look here, devil. He never had to turn a page. It's all right there in the scriptures. Matter of fact, I could say it this way. In one day's Bible reading, he had the answers to defeat the devil. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing that is that he had devoted himself, but he had dedicated himself as well to reading that Bible, and the scriptures were there. I'm saying to you, our Lord had an attitude toward the scripture. What was his attitude? His early attitude in his early days was a devotion to it and a reverence for it. Now he's got the attitude of complete confidence in the Word of God. But he didn't just have complete confidence. He had complete dependence. He's not standing on anything else. He didn't say, well, the Bible said and Daddy said. Well, the Bible said and Mama said. Well, the Bible said and the preacher said. Well, the Bible said and the president. Oh, no. He said, I've got confidence in what the Bible says. That's all I need. Amen. Doesn't matter what the college professor says. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. What the Bible says, that's what matters. And he had confidence. So he'd been a reverent student. Now he's a ready soldier. He's got confidence in his sword. Then I think about his public ministry. Now, we've talked about his early days and then the temptation. He enters into his ministry. I want to think about what our Lord's attitude towards the Scriptures were then. What's he going to do when it comes his time to teach men? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He takes the Scriptures. In Matthew chapters number 5, 6, and 7, there's that great Sermon on the Mount. Some of the commentators say Jesus lays Moses in the shade. Jesus invalidates everything Moses said. Oh, no. He didn't come to do away with the law. Matter of fact, the same Jesus standing on the mount that he's preaching this sermon was the same God on Mount Sinai that thundered those words to start with. Amen. He's the same God. He hadn't changed his mind. He wasn't hiding Moses in the shade. No, he is shining light on the shadowy parts that Moses had written. He is one that is going to reveal to us the holiness and the justice and even the goodness of that law of God. Our Lord took these scriptures and opened them up. In His public ministry, our Lord made it plain that He believed the histories of the Old Testament. He just told the story about Jonah swallowed by the whale. Because He believed it. Amen. He never called into question the history of the Old Testament. He expected them to be entirely true. He spoke of the Psalms. He spoke of many of the Psalms. Matter of fact, some of the Psalms that he spoke of, he said, David said, and those are some of the very Psalms that the quote-unquote Bible scholars say they're not sure if David wrote them or not. Well, our Lord was convinced David wrote them. And I'm convinced our Lord's right. Let him be true and every man be a liar if that happened to be the case. Amen. They talk about whether or not Moses wrote the Pentateuch. Pentateuch being the first five books. It didn't dawn on me till recently again in studying and another thought I was looking at about the Pentateuch. Why it's called that. Penta means five. We've got the Pentagon. It's a five-sided building. The pentagram has five sides. And so that's the idea. So the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible, and they're all written by Moses. And so they're bringing the question, and they say, well, Moses couldn't have known all that. There's no way. Well, there is no way Moses knew that to figure it up on his own. He wasn't writing on his own. He was a pen. There's no way this pen could write a letter unless there's somebody that knows how to write a letter and knows what he wants to say, and that pen just says what I tell it to say. Amen. That's what Moses did. God told Moses what to say. I believe even to the words. And Moses said what God said for him to say. Amen. Here's what our Lord said. He said, Moses spoke of me. What's he talking about? He's talking about the book of Deuteronomy. He's talking about the Pentateuch, the whole five books. He said Moses was talking about me. So Jesus believed that Moses wrote that book. He didn't deny that Moses wrote that book. Amen. He quoted nearly all the historical books of the Old Testament from, not quote them in totality, but he quoted from almost all the historical books of the Old Testament. It's as if our Lord was looking down through time. And he knew, there's no doubt he knew which prophets and authors were going to be called into question. And so he just purposefully quoted from them authors. Amen. He talks about Daniel. He talks about Jeremiah. Amen. And there's another, well, he talks about Isaiah and he talks about Jonah. Jonah was the one I was thinking about. And he talks about them and confirms every word of the writings of Isaiah and Jonah and Daniel. Amen. In other words, our Lord recognizes the dependableness of that Old Testament, the truth of its historical accounts. Our Lord even accepted all the miracles. There's something they say, well, now we'll buy the history. All right, we believe the history. We believe that Israel was in Egyptian bondage, and we believe they got out of it. And we believe they came up to a sea, but it wasn't the Red Sea, because that would be too miraculous for them to roll back the water and walk through the Red Sea. So it had to be the Reed Sea. You've heard the story. And then somehow, I remember when I was a boy, Dad showing me papers. Men came up with these things. Had to be the Reed Sea, because see, the Reed Sea ain't but ankle deep. And they could walk through the Reed Sea, and then, of course, they wrote back and said it was walk across on dry ground. I remember what Brother Mays Jackson said about that. He said, there's this woman in a church, and the preacher was preaching that, and the preacher said it wasn't the Red Sea, and he didn't roll the waters back. It was the Reed Sea, and he walked through on ankle-deep water. And said that woman just went a-shouting, and whoa, whoa. He said, woman, what in the world are you shouting about? She said, boy, that's more of a miracle than dry ground. If he drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in ankle-deep water. But our Lord, when he talks about the miracles, and if you call it a miracle, Noah's flood, our Lord recognized it as real. He talked about Noah's day. He didn't say, now you know the fable of Noah. No, he said, you know about Noah. When he talks about Jonah, back that swallowed by a whale, boy, that'd be miraculous. But our Lord didn't deny that. Our Lord didn't call that into question. He just recognized it as a historical thing. Those miracles really happened. The manna that fell from heaven fed those children of Israel all that time. Our Lord just accepted that. He said, you've heard about the manna from heaven. Now I'm the real bread from heaven. Amen. Our Lord talks about Naaman the Syrian, that it was cured of his leprosy. You remember that? He dipped in the Jordan River. Our Lord spoke about those things. He spoke about the woman, the widow at Zarephath that had the meal barrel that never run dry. Our Lord spoke about that widow. He didn't bring into question whether or not that miracle ever happened. He just recognized it as being real. In other words, I'll say this, and I'm moving on. Our Lord recognized and depended upon, relied upon the verbal accuracy of our Bible. He knew that Old Testament was right. Matter of fact, it was so right. Matthew chapter 22, there's a quote in there about the God of the living. There's a question about the resurrection. These men come up and, I'll just tell you the story. They come up and they're asking them a question about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't even believe in it. You remember that? They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they come up with this intricate story and mock and make fun. And our Lord says to them, He said, you've read that God is the God of Abraham. And he uses this. He says, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Our Lord cued in on one word, a verb that's in the present tense. That word, am. And he said, you know God's not the God of the dead. He's not the God of them that was, but He's the God of them that are. He said, I am the God. That means Abraham's still around somewhere. That means that Isaac's still around somewhere. That means that Jacob's still around somewhere. Amen. And our Lord cued in on that one little verb. He didn't question even the tense of the word in the Bible. Our Lord never called into question the accuracy, the dependability of the words even. He believed the miracles. He believed the history. He even believed the verbal accuracy of these words. Matter of fact, he goes in that same Matthew chapter 22. He deals with a phrase that David uses in a psalm where he's talking about the Lord being my Lord. And he cues in on those words. The words of one of the psalms that they call into question. And our Lord says this at the end of Matthew 22. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Amen. I'm telling you, our answer for all of our problems are on the pages of this book. Our Lord, that was His attitude, and that ought to be our attitude as well. Amen. Let me move on. There's this fourth section. It's this time of His supreme sorrow. The garden and the cross, if I could use it that way. Particularly on the cross. Our Lord knew about all that. He had a foreknowledge of all that. Our Lord had an understanding of the cross, but it didn't change the fact that the shadow of the cross loomed large on the face of our Lord as He set His face like a flint and headed towards Jerusalem. It didn't change the fact that our Lord's heart was filled with sorrow on that night when He said to His disciples that He was, and I paraphrase Him, but He talks about being heavy, and He talks about the fact that He's almost overwhelmed with grief at what's getting ready to take place as He's about to be betrayed and He's about to be offered up as a sacrifice. But our Lord, the Bible talks about in Gethsemane that He prayed. And we know the Bible says His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Hebrews says that He had strong cries, that He feared. And He had strong cries. And I believe He's talking about His manhood. But in that time, all along that way, the Scriptures were large in our Lord's life. I think there's things hidden in there, and I'm not going to try to pull those out and bring those out tonight. But all through the Scriptures, you remember in that, as they had what we call the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and they broke the bread, and they drank the fruit of the vine, and as they were leaving that upper room, the Bible says they sang a hymn, and they departed. All that was fulfilling the Scriptures.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow as we'll complete this sermon, as we complete this week of broadcasting as well on the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until this same time tomorrow, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying, God bless you.